If some of you don't know, I was out, flew out Thursday morning out to Colorado, and flew back last night. My middle brother that passed away this summer, they were doing a memorial gathering for him up in the mountains and spreading his ashes. And my eldest brother went with me. He's a retired minister. And what a... Just a full, the things I've seen and experienced in these last 3 days, my head is just spinning, and I need the time to process and figure out all that I saw, all that I heard, all that happened in that time. And thank you for all of you that were praying for me. I could go story after story after story of God's just little neat things that he did for me over this time. His hand was there just the whole time, and just filled with his wonder and his goodness of him just taking care of me and us in a great, just a very good time. Traveling with my older brother, he's 9 years older than me, so he was out of the house by the time I was growing up. I think I spent more time with him this last 3 days than I have maybe ever, as far as a concentrated time, and just the wonderful conversations we had and the fellowship that we had, and just God moving and doing those things. And again, I'm processing a lot of this still. This memorial gathering met a lot of my brother's wife's family for the first time as well. And in the whole process, boy, some things were really reinforced to me. In the whole gathering and the memorial time and that, God was not mentioned once. And that doesn't mean God wasn't there. And that doesn't mean God wasn't merciful. And God wasn't working in my brother's life. And he is in, at this point in time, in God's hands and God's mercy. And where he is, I don't know. But it just really reinforced this idea of what we've been talking about really this whole year. If you look back and see where we have been with this idea that if there's no Jesus, and maybe you could go back, if there's no God, then there's no Jesus. And if there's no Jesus, there's no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, then there is no hope of eternal life. And maybe that's not so scary if you're living a good life and things are going well for you and you're comfortable. But that's not much of a reality. And there's not a lot of hope of beyond that. And so aware that most of the world is not living the comfortable life that we do in this country. It's easy just to enjoy the good things in our country, in our culture, but miss the eternal things. So we're this is kind of the new theme, the new vision for our church. These days, just looking at that, these statements that's in the front of your bulletin now on that, and I'm not really going to talk too much about that, but just live the gospel, share the gospel, be a disciple, and make disciples. That's what God has called us to be and do as a church. And where I think we are, and I really, really wanted to be back, on any other Sunday, with what was going on. I just would have asked Alan to preach, and he'd have done a great job, and I'd have just took the Sunday off. But I really, really wanted to be back here this Sunday with this congregation, because where we're at, what's going on, in preparing ourselves for the special services that are coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. This is a significant time. This is big in our church. Just 3 months ago, or a little less than 3 months ago, maybe, we did our 100th anniversary. What a neat time of celebration. This church was full and packed, and the church just rallied so well to make that a significant time. It was a powerful time of celebration. And one of the questions we asked a little bit was, praise God for 100 years and the lives that have been touched, but what's next? And the answer God seemed to have given us was, what's next is these special services. This is a very significant time of what God is wanting to do in our congregation. And my hope just for today is a little bit to continue in the spirit of just preparing our hearts for this. We prepared for that 100th anniversary for 2-3 years, you know, before I was a pastor. One of the first things I heard when I came here, 100th anniversary coming in a couple years, we need to be ready for it. And that was, you know, just a big, great, good thing. But, and this is the same thing, and this is the next step, I think, that God is calling us to and for. And we've not been kind of intentionally using the word revival. We've been calling it special meetings lately, because revival has so many different connotations and meanings. And some people, I don't know what the word means at all. It's kind of a church word. And other people know too much what it means in the past of what revival was. And it was somebody up here stomping and making you feel guilty and all kinds of pressure and emotions and things like that, just trying to get a response. And we don't want that. But as I stand here before you today, I say, I need to be revived. I need to be renewed. These services aren't just for you, and I'm not standing up here telling you guys get your act together, or you guys do that. I'm standing here saying, I need these services. I'm standing here saying, I'm looking forward to this, because I know God wants to do something. I need to be renewed. I need to be refreshed. I need to go back to that first love and that zeal for Him and that of before. God is so good. God is so big, so powerful. Why do we limit Him so often by our busyness, our unbelief, or whatever it is? God has things for it, and God has things for me in these weeks and in this coming week, and I'm excited about it. I'm preparing my heart for that. And so scripture today I'll blame it on God that He laid on my heart, and that is James, from James chapter 4. And we don't have slides for that. That's perfectly fine. I would invite you to stand just in respect for God's word as I read these verses, and then we'll consider here. So James chapter 4, beginning at verse 5. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the Spirit which He has made to dwell in us. But He gives a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. That's a verse for me. Don't worry about that. That's not a very quoted one. We don't preach on very well. But then it ends in verse 10 here. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he will exalt you. Amen. God's word, you may be seated. The text for this, read a little bit bigger portion. It's always important to do that to get the context. There is so much good stuff in here. I have a feeling we might be preaching through James at some point in time in the next year. We'll see. But the text for today is verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Just this... three points there, you know, just a perfect sermon here, just easy to do. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Think how much God has done to draw near to you already. What he has done in history, what he has done in your life. Sending his son to the world, to be one of us, to live among us, to show us, and to be rejected by us. And mocked and dying for us, dying for our sins on the cross, coming that far for us to be a part of us and to draw near to us. And then he gives that invitation for us to draw near to him. Almighty, powerful, amazing God that created this whole world, just by saying the words, the mountains of Colorado that I enjoyed, the beauty of this area here, the sunshine, the fall colors, all of that, the God that created all of those things for us to enjoy and to to know him and to know who he is. That God is inviting us to draw near to him. Amen. I've got something for you. I've got more to show you. You think this world is something. I've got a lot more than that that I have for you. It would scare you if you knew the dreams I have for you. The amount of time that he spends thinking about you. You are on his heart and on his mind every second of every day since before you were conceived. Until the day you die. And then he welcomes you into eternity with him, to have relationship with him. That God invites us to draw near to him, to take the time, to make the effort, to do what it takes, to seek him, to be there, to be here. And he promises if you will do that, if you will make that sacrifice, if you will make that effort to sincerely set aside the time, come around and say, God, I'm here. I've got other things I could be doing. I've got things like that, but I am giving this time to you. He will draw near to you. God Almighty will show up and speak to you in your heart, in the reality of your life, and in all of your struggles, and in all of your failures, and maybe all of your guilt, and all of your shame, or whatever you carry around in your heart every day. God will come and meet with you. And God is loving, God is gentle, and he's kind. He doesn't want to meet with you to beat you up or to twist your arm or to shame you or anything like that. He wants to meet with you because he loves you.
Amen.
And he's got something better for you than we've got right now. So draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. And then goes on to say, cleanse your hands, you sinners. And And I just go there and would ask the question, you know, we're probably pretty good people here. We're in church on Sunday morning. And that doesn't mean we're not struggling with things. That certainly doesn't mean that we're making any claim that our lives are perfect. But probably pretty good people. I would ask the question, though, what's in your closet? And I don't want to know as I ask that question, because I'm standing up here asking myself that same question. What's in my closet? What are those things that I keep to myself? What are those things that I hide? What are those memories that I have? What are those things that that I kind of put away, but I like to keep them? Maybe treasures at some point that still have a hold of my heart. The stories, maybe the sin, maybe the attraction of sin that still has that hold on your heart, has a hold on my heart. What are those things, you know, that you just like to sometimes go back and remember, go back and think about? What do you hold on to? What do I hold on to? You know that, in listening to me preach, in that, boy, one of my struggles is with the internet and just wasting my time, spending too much time on the internet. And a lot of times it's just wasting your time, wasting my time. You know, nothing bad, nothing really wrong and stuff like that. But just to confess, it can also cross over at times to places that's a lot worse than just wasting your time. Going back to an old world or to old thoughts and just kind of harboring those or that. And kind of, you know, something in the closet there that you don't talk about and you deal with God. But there's... Just something there that to be honest with is, cleanse your hands, you sinners. That he says that and where our thoughts, where our hearts are, to let God really search us in those things. There's another thing that's been just speaking to me a lot as far as cleanse your hands, you sinners. And again, I my expectation is we're all pretty respectable people here, at least trying to do what's right, repented of our sins, the big sins probably of our lives. But God's been showing me lately in this same chapter James, the last verse, he says, "Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do, and does not do it, to him it's sin." Amen. Those little times when God nudges me and says, "Oh, do this. Would you pray? Would you spend some time in Scripture? Would you maybe talk to this person? Would you make that phone call?" And I don't do it because I'm too busy, too distracted, too worried about what somebody's going to think of me or something like that. Saying here, that is sin. Again, the God of this universe, the Almighty God, is reaching out to me and wanting to help me and wanting to bless me and wanting to show me things. And I say, no, I'm too busy. Or I don't want to take the risk. I don't want to do those things. And that's just sin in God's eyes. That can look very respectable on the outside in that, but not listening and obeying God in the little things of your life is just as much sin as in his eyes as doing the terrible and those deeds that the world would condemn. So draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And then the last point there is purify your hearts, you double-minded. What's really in our heart, how deceptive it can be. And what do we really want? What are we really living for? Again, what are those secret things that we like to hold on to? What are the dreams or the pride? God's opposed to the proud that we hang on to. And that to purify your hearts, you double-minded. And that, as I search my heart, just tells me, what do I really, really, really want? What's the most important thing to me? Is it to be respected? Is it for people to compliment me and tell me to like me? I find I said that verse, be miserable, mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. I found that these times my kind of fallback is I can make people laugh usually. I'm sarcastic enough. I'm just kind of got that wit and stuff like that I can make people laugh in a situation like that. But what's behind that? Is it just, I want them to like me? Or I'm kind of in an awkward situation and I don't fit in that well. And so I turn to that kind of wit and sarcastic humor to justify myself or something like that. What really is our heart? My brother and I were talking about that in Jeremiah. Our hearts are deceitfully wicked, desperately sick. Who can understand it? And here he says, purify your hearts, you double-minded. And there's a couple, again in James, a couple places where we go with that. Aren't we so caught up in the things of the world? So many, we're just so much information, so much available to us these days. And where are our hearts? Again, that's the struggle of God tells me, why don't you spend some time in Scripture today? Why don't you spend some more time in praying? Have you prayed for all the people of the church yet today? But I'm wondering about the news. I'm wondering about the hostages. I'm wondering about the shutdown. I'm wondering about, all of these things, and get distracted with all of these things. And he says, don't be double-minded. What do you really want? What's really important? On your deathbed, what's going to make a difference in your life? More than that, earlier in this chapter, verse 2, talking about the struggles in our lives, and it says, you do not have because you do not ask. And then you ask and don't receive because you ask with wrong motives so that you may spend it on your pleasures. What do we really want? What do I really want? Where's my heart? What do we really want for this church? Just to be comfortable? Just to come here and enjoy the worship? Or to be salt and light and really have God touch our hearts so much that we're overflowing and overfilled, and if that happens, then the church is also overfilled and overflowing. We don't have because we don't ask, and we ask and we don't receive because we do it with the wrong motives. We have prayer meetings. Pray quite often. Wednesdays, there's a group of us here that pray. And we ask for God to bless the church. We ask for God to work in people's lives. We ask God to build our church. We ask often that people are saved. That nobody that attends this church does not know the assurance of their salvation. That they're not fooled. That they're not... just in the middle of those things. So You know, what do we really want? We ask for those things. Oh yeah, we want our church to grow. I want God to use me. I want to see God's power in those things. But again, where's my heart really? Do I really want those things? Do I really want them enough to pursue them and seek them with all my heart? Or is it just making me feel good to pray those prayers, but not really expecting God to answer them? He gives some more insight into a purifier of your hearts, you double-minded. Earlier in James, in chapter 1, he says this. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Again there, he'll give us the wisdom. He'll give us what we need if we really want it. But if we're just playing games, if we're just double-minded in that and here and there and what do I really want, don't expect God to answer your prayers. How desperate are we? How much do we really want God to work in our hearts and lives? How much do we really believe if we'll draw near to him, he'll draw near to us? And that, again, not to beat us up or things like that, or to condemn us as much as to wrap us in his arms of love and show us better things and show us a better way to live than what we're doing now. He has so, so much more for us. But again, then we need to search our hearts. We need to look at those things. Where is really my heart? Am I double-minded? Purify your hearts, you double-minded. He says at the end of that, then again, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. You know, we like to put on a good face, and yeah, everything's going all right in my life. I'm doing good and stuff like that. But what's the truth? How are we really doing? How victorious are we living? How overflowing are we in the Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit? Are we just getting by? Are we just putting a smile on our face? Those things, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and he'll exalt you. He's not looking for you to be perfect. He's not looking for you to have all the answers. He's just looking for you to be honest with where you are and what's going on in your life. Are you really satisfied? Are you really fulfilled? Are you really doing all that you think you could or you would like to do or dream that you could in the fullness of God? Because that's what he wants for you. That's where he's calling you to and for. And that's why he's calling us to special services. To, again, set aside that time to be there and let God speak to us, to let God speak to me. I am thankful I am not the speaker for these services, because I'm going to be able to sit down there where you guys are and let God speak to me too through those times. And I need that and I want that and I'm expecting him to do that. So we have, there's Sunday afternoon questions that we're going with what I thought I was speaking of. Don't worry too much about them. They're good questions if you want to look at those. But where I would like to go and end with today is that was James 4 that I preach from. If you got time this afternoon, that'd be a great place to go and spend some time. There is deep, deep, neat stuff in there that we really just... But then I would also encourage you to go to Psalm 139. And that's what I'm going to end the service with, or part of that with. So your Sunday afternoon, that Psalm 139, spend some time in there. Powerful, powerful place of scripture. God just, one of my favorite parts in there, you've enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. And I just, that's been so real to me lately, and I see that, and I've seen that week. God's been behind me in my whole life. God's in front of me and all the plans that he has for me if I will take them. But in the meantime, his hand is on your shoulder. Amen. Walking right with you. And again, honestly, not to pretend us that we do to the rest of the world and stuff like that, but where we really are, his hand is there. I have felt his hand with me these last days as I've traveled and the different things I've saw in there. God is with us all the time with what we need in that. But anyways, I'd like to close with just the end of Psalm 139. And let's make this a part of our prayer and our hope and our intention as we're going into these special services, the revival that God has for us and has for our church. It says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts." What am I worried about? What am I struggling with? Oh, with that, God, know those things, God. He already does. And then see if there be any hurtful way in me. God, where am I screwing up? Where am I a stumbling block? Where am I falling short? And then lead me in the everlasting way. He has eternal life. He has abundant life for us. And it's not just at the end at our funeral service. And ever lead me in the everlasting way. Right now, how do I live? How do I walk honestly with you and listen to your voice and obey your voice on the day-to-day basis? And I raise my hand, I fall short of that so often. And that's why I'm looking for God to touch me. And I'm looking for God to speak to me. Prepare my heart for what he wants to do in the services this next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You are so good. You're so wonderful. Boy, you've been with me this week and shown me things and your majesty and your wonderful world and your glory and the hope that we have in you. Lord, to be able to return back here safely and to meet with these friends and family, the body of Christ that you've given me the privilege of being a part of. And Lord God, how your heart goes out to us. How you love us, how you long for us, how you want to do so much more in our hearts and lives. And the question is, are we willing? Not are you willing. So Lord, have your way in our hearts and lives. Lord, do prepare our hearts, search our hearts. Give us that hope, that expectation, how big and how good and how loving you are and what you want to do for us and through us in this world. Whatever that looks like, whatever that price would be, Lord God, that's just not all fun and games and Christmas time, getting everything we want, but walking with a living God and doing your will and seeing your mighty hand work. So Lord God, we commit ourselves to you. We lift up these special services. Lift up a Pastor Gorman as he's searching his heart and he's preparing for that. Lord, I would just, again, that you would search our hearts and Lord, keep our calendars open, our hearts open, Lord, that we could be at these services. Lord, that we could believe and trust in you, that if we will draw near to you, you'll draw near to us with good things, your greatness, your mercy, your loving kindness. So Lord God, thank you for meeting with us today. And Lord, just to continue to walk with us. Lord, your hand on our shoulder, even as you've been with us in the past. and promise to be with us in the future as well. So, Lord, we commit ourselves to you for your name's sake and for your honor and your glory, that you would be lifted up and praised. We do this all then in Jesus' name. Amen.